The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God speaks. I am. A and Z, as they say in some Bibles. The first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet are Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending. There it's described for you, just so you can understand. I am the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, we have the shortly come to pass, but here we also have the patience, the kingdom and patience. The kingdom and the patience are brought together because we patiently wait for a kingdom. You know, these promises in Revelation have been sitting here awaiting fulfillment for nearly 2,000 years. If you reckon the time from when Jesus left this world, from when he ascended into heaven, we're only like in the 1980s. We haven't even been 2,000 years since that time. But that's a long time. We patiently wait for a kingdom. We patiently seek after a kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Whether we live in the end times or not, we are to seek and patiently wait for the kingdom. So our preparation has less to do with figuring out how the events are going to unfold when the end times come, as it has to do with us preparing ourselves inwardly to meet God. Because what I see here is that the wicked are not ready to meet God. They're wailing and trembling in fear. They're going to howl, and they're not going to want to see his face. They're all going to see him, but they don't want to see him. We will be rejoicing to see him. And they will be ashamed, and you will rejoice. So John is saying, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. So for some reason, he was in the island of Patmos because of the word of God, whether sent there by God's will or brought there under persecution because of the gospel. But it was for a purpose that he was brought to this place. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That is important. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, some people say, well, but does that mean I was in the Spirit on Sunday? Because they call Sunday the Lord's Day, or for some people, Saturday. It's not the point I'm really making. I was in the Spirit. You know, we pray in the Spirit. We sing in the Spirit. There's a lot of ways to be in the Spirit. There's several ways to look at the things that John was shown and that he's reporting. What happened? John saw it. The other people on Patmos didn't see it. This was not something that there was like some circus came to town. He was in the Spirit. So in some form, either by vision or some other means, he was shown events that were not physical or carnal, and that he was not seeing things as they are in this world in his time, but rather he was given a spiritual vision or was spiritually transported to the time of the end. That's how I look at it. John either had a vision, visionary experience, or perhaps travel through time. I tend to go more for the visionary because it's not as complicated. It's a simpler explanation. There's visions. Visions of the future. The visions of the future are given from the perspective of the future. He heard this great voice of the trumpet saying, verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. What you see, that which you have visually observed, I want you to write it down. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So these are the seven churches. Now he turns, and he sees the voice. He wants to know what's behind the voice. And he saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. Another seven. Seven golden candlesticks. These candlesticks are surrounding the personage of the Son of Man. One like unto the Son of Man, at least. Because again, this is in vision. Did Christ really come down and speak with him? Or was a vision given to him of Christ? You know, how real is a vision? A vision from God is true and real. Yet it is a vision. A lot of things in Revelation are visionary. I think one of the funniest ways people try to interpret prophecy is when they look at the things that John saw, like when he describes the locusts, and they say he was seeing helicopters. You know, that's ridiculous. Honestly, why would he call them helicopters? I mean, locusts. It'd make more sense if he called them great metal birds. I mean, he wasn't a doofus. Great flying things. The ancients were not these cavemen. They understood they could have described things better. These things are given, and the symbols are given because they're symbolic of things that are real, but they're given in a symbolic vision. So he sees the seven candlesticks and one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and he has a golden belt, girt about the breast. I mean, this is a high belt, chest high, like a large girdle. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Is this from the brightness? Have they turned white? It doesn't really matter. But the idea of this pure, white, glowing being in the midst of the seven candlesticks, his eyes were as a flame of fire, his eyes flashing with fire. Very clear image, white with flashing eyes of flame. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice is as the sound of many waters. Feet are shining like brass, you know, it's shiny metal, like unto fine brass. Not common brass, but fine, beautiful, burnished, shining, like they burned in a furnace, glowing. Blessed are the feet of him that bringeth good news, that bringeth the gospel, the feet that trample out the footsteps, the sound of the marching armies of heaven to come to earth, to take over, to restore dominion on the earth to the Holy One of God, to him whose inheritance it rightfully belongs. This earth is only given for a short time to man to do his wickedness upon it. Short time. We know how the universe is extremely, as far as time, the way we understand it, it's extremely long. Relatively, man's time on earth, extremely short. For God, the universe is extremely small, extremely short. God being infinite. It's mind-blowing. His voice is like many waters. You know, you think about the rushing sound of waters and his voice being loud and powerful like water rushing. And he had in his right hand seven stars, another seven, seven stars in the one hand, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His face was shining like the sun. His hairs appeared white, his wool white, white. Feet shining, face shining, stars in his hand. I mean, this is, I can't even imagine how bright the whole, I mean, it seems like there'd be almost no contrast. Like, it'd be just all brightness.